Eye on Careers.
In association with LeMoon.com. Jobs, courses, and all things career.
Hello and welcome to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. And this show is dedicated to those people out there who just simply refuse to let go of their dreams. For some, that dream is just getting your next promotion. For others, it's starting your own business. No matter who you are or what it is, if you feel like the best is still yet to come, if you feel like you haven't reached your full potential, this show is designed to unlock that power within and catapult you to the top of your game. How do we do that? Simple. Simple. If you want success, if you want to be successful, you simply ask the most successful people in the landscape for their advice. Follow their path. It's that easy. It's really that easy. And to quote my friend Ajay Sethi, chairman of Channel 2 Group, it's one of my favorite quotes this week. He said to me, Shane, the flavors of life are not in the tasting, but in the hunger. So the question is, how hungry are you? On this episode, we're going to look at what it takes to be number one in your profession, what it takes to make it to the top. Our first guest is one of the region's biggest CEOs. He runs a multi-billion dollar organization, and it's none other than Osman Sultan, the chief executive officer of Do, one of the fastest growing companies. If you look at the last 10 years, this is one of the fastest growing companies, I think, in the GCC. It's an amazing success story, and we're going to be talking to the man who is the spearhead of that growth. But you know what? To be successful, you have to have tenacity. You have to have consistency. You just can't come to the plate one time and swing. You have to have multiple approaches. So in this show, we don't just bring you one success story. We bring you two. Our second guest is a multi-billionaire. He basically came to Dubai in 1970s, and he could smell opportunity. He stopped and decided to open up shop. Our second guest is Mahindra Bhai Patel, the founder and group managing director of Jeep International, a true conglomerate involved in steel, food, building materials, paints, chemicals, ship handling, and more. He has really built a multi-billion dollar international global company. So let me tell you something. This is one show you don't want to miss. This is Eye on Careers. So our first guest is probably one of the best-known CEOs in the region, Osman Sultan, the king of telecoms. But for those of you who for whatever reason, you are living in a cave in the last couple decades, you haven't heard of him, here is his bio. Let's hear a little bit more about his background.
This is Eye on Careers. Executive CV.
Osman Sultan was appointed CEO of Emirates Integrated Telecommunications Company, Do, on the 1st of January 2006, after spending 8 years at the helm of the Egyptian company for mobile services, Mobinil. His vast experience includes managing operations in several countries, including Europe, North America, and the Middle East. He holds a degree in engineering and has addressed several conferences on telecommunications and electronic information services, mobile telecoms, and the internet in the Middle East, Japan, the USA, and Europe. He is also the recipient of many awards, including a Lifetime Achievement Award and Man of the Year.
Well, this is one impressive background, and I'm honored to have you on the show. Welcome to Eye on Careers, Mr. Osman Sultan.
Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to have you here. I have to say, I almost didn't make it because I was in Muscat and I almost missed my flight. And I have to send a big thank you to the gentleman. I was flying Fly Dubai, but the gentleman at Oman Air actually helped get me here in time. It was Ahmed Al-Balushi and Sami Al-Marouki, who actually went the extra distance. They pulled me through. You know, the Middle East is a special place when sometimes people want to reach out and help each other. He really made sure I got on the plane. I think was like the last person on. I have to say, Fly Dubai is awesome because I definitely didn't want to miss this moment. But Usman, you have really come from, you know, what was your background? I mean, was your family in telecoms or is it basically a pure self-made man that we're looking at here today?
No, not at all. I mean, I chose telecom. You know, two things. My family, my father is a banker. So nothing to do with this. He lived all his life in Lebanon. My parents live still in Lebanon. And then when you are 16 and you live the civil war in Lebanon, you start thinking, well, what's the best way going forward? And you don't necessarily think of what is you're passionate in. But you say, okay, life is obviously going to become challenging. You're a Lebanese, your country is in a tough situation. You need to ensure that. So you're pushed to do things like, you know, being a doctor, an engineer, or go in some, in jobs, in careers that, or studies that will ensure you get a job. I studied engineering. I never worked as an engineer. So sometimes I say, I'm an engineer by accident because, you know, it was the right thing. With an engineering degree, you could better handle yourself and better find opportunities at the time being in Paris. And I entered through a completely different way in telecom. It was not traditional telecom back in 83 when I joined the France Telecom Group. It was really, really at the border of telecom. It was its closest to what we call now the world of the internet. So later on, these two joined together.
And, you know, I think, like the quote I opened up with was the flavors of life are not in the tasting, but in the hunger, almost speaks to exactly what you're describing, or what one of my mentors said is the gift of desperation is these hardships, these things at the time, what you think are your curses are actually your blessings.
Well, maybe, yes. I mean, we all know just that if you want to innovate or if you want to do things out of the box, there are always three ways to reach this. You know, people innovate by necessity. People innovate by exploration, you know, where you just do things in a very well planned and prepared and determined manner. And sometimes people innovate or find the path by serendipity, which is completely an accidental outcome. So I don't know whether it is half by necessity and half by serendipity what led me to this path.
Then you're in France Telecom from 1983, and you go through a bunch of entry-level, you know, relatively menial jobs, especially compared to what you're doing now. But you stay there till 1994. You know, do you think that people don't stay long enough in their jobs today to develop the right capabilities, to really develop meaningful skill sets?
This is where I don't think that we can generalize. I don't think that yes, people stay or don't stay. What I can say by experience is we see a lot, and I see it every day, people who are unjustifiably impatient. They want to step to the next level immediately without mastering or without learning from what they're doing today. I was privileged to start my career in something that was completely new in the world. I just said it was not in telecom. It was something that existed only in France. That was, everybody calls it the precursor of the internet. There was something, small terminal where you can get access to information. The first things in social networking, imagine back in the late 80s, called the Minitel. And by accident, I find myself working in this, and I find myself doing different type of jobs, market interfacing functions. This is why I said I'm an engineer by accident, never worked as an engineer. I was always in marking interfacing functions where I had to tell a story, be it in, you know, sales, marketing, customer service, communication, all these jobs. And I was learning from moving from one job to another. So I don't know if people, you know, don't stay enough. What I can say is people are very often very impatient. People don't understand that you will really make it when you will be able to bring a value that is indisputable. And you will only do this when you learn from every step you go through.
So, you know, from what I see your career, you were patient. You know, success wasn't a sprint, it's a marathon. And then in 1998, is this where you really take control of your destiny? You become one of the founders of Mobinail to operate a GSM license in Egypt. Big risk, big jump off point. Is that one of the big career milestones for you?
It is. It is certainly. But let me, you know, temper a little bit the very kind words that you said. Hearing you, one can think that, oh, I was very entrepreneurial, took all the risks. I was representing the France Telecom Group. And I went to Egypt in order to win the bid for a license for a GSM operator. And I was managing the project. And we did win. I like to think that I had an important contribution in moving into and this winning. But then what I did, where I think I really made a difference, is the vision that characterized the launch of this operation, where the shareholders asked me to be the CEO of this operation, and I stayed for close to 8 years at the helm of Mobinail at the time. And just the idea that I had on mobility and how mobility will transform the lives of individual was a big jump, a big quantum leap in my career. When I said, and I insisted, and I had to fight, and I had to take risks to impose the vision of a mobile in the hand of everyone back in 1997, because this is where the authorities, the Egyptian authorities, issued that bid, that tender. That was, in that part of the world, very daring, very visionary. And I felt like it will happen. Mobility is something irreversible. Mobility is going to become that a mobile will be for everyone. And today, you know, 15 years after, we can see that globally at all levels. It's not about, you know, how business planners are calculating things, looking at the GDP per capita, looking at the purchasing power of an individual. We were all surprised by the take up of mobility as a concept.
This is the story of Osman Sultan, the chief executive officer of Du, one of the major players globally in the telecom business. We're hearing his secrets to success. This is one interview you don't want to miss. Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we are listening to the story of Osman Sultan, the chief executive officer of Du. For those of you just joining us, he was born in Lebanon, Beirut, and seared by the fires of a volatile political entity, driving him into a professional vocation. You know, it was either you're picking a doctor or accountant or engineer to try and deal with this situation to get a better life for yourself. Pushes himself into engineering, but never actually works as an engineer. Instead, joins France Telecom Group and starts working on what was the early derivatives, the genesis of the internet, and stays there for quite some time, from 1983, over a decade. And then even his next move into Mobinail, where he got the operating license for a GSM license in Egypt, was also an extension, a subsidiary of France Telecom Group. So it really speaks to the loyalty and commitment, drive, the patience. You know, success is not a sprint, it's a marathon. And just as we cut to the break he was talking about the importance of a vision, of being galvanized to a vision, and how and where he finds that strength in pushing through the dark spots. Those individuals who have a vision early on definitely have an advantage, especially when we're looking at a leadership role. This is the story of Osman Sultan. Osman, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thank you.
I hope my summary was on point. And
it's a great summary, Shane.
It's always difficult summarizing someone's life when they're sitting right in front of you. But I want to ask you, you've been through a lot. I mean, you've worked on a global level. You've worked on pretty much every continent. You've taken on greenfields. You've taken on startups. You've taken on new technologies. What has been the biggest challenge you have ever faced?
Well, believe it or not, I think that when I had the privilege of being contacted by the founders of Do and telling me we're going to have a second operator in the UAE and we would like to discuss with you the opportunity for you to come and, you know, steer this. I just looked at this and said, I'm coming to a country where you have a very strong competitor, you know, at this a lot. I'm coming to a country where penetration of mobile services is already at 100%. And believe me, this is a unique thing in the world. It never happened that when the second player entered a market in mobile, for instance, penetration was at this level. Never in the world. So I asked myself the question, well, what's the magic recipe? And guess what? There is no magic recipe. So I was just leaving something where I built and I was known for a success and recognized for this, established with my family. You know, I have two kids that were very young at that time. My wife, who's from Egypt, never lived in another country since. And I had other three kids, children living in France, continuing, again, teenagers. So not an easy. And I said, I'm going to make that, but it is a challenge. And I decided that, as I said, in Egypt, the vision of mobility at that time, back in 1997, was the right vision. So I needed to think and say, what is this vision? And the idea that actually telecommunication and communication generally are beyond mobility. They are. This was the nascent time of, you know, all what you can do on the internet. This was mobility was becoming, you know, a granted thing. So I said, it's much beyond mobility. It's really something that is going to impact everything we do in our lives as individuals, as groups, as companies, as corporations, as governments, as nations, as societies. And that was really the early vision that was driving me. On that, I had a partner on that. I have to say that the story of Do and this bouncing of ideas happened with the support of someone that I really believe the chemistry between the two of us was fundamental. He's today the chairman of Do. He is the person who trusted me and bet on me, you know, and said, I believe that you're the right person. I believe in the story. I believe in these ideas. And the phenomenal growth that Do has witnessed that is really unique, not only in this part of the world, but one of the fastest, I think, was a result of this combination and bouncing of ideas. How can we be different? Just to give you another example of the challenge, Do was the first telco startup not to rely on an existing incumbent operator. If you take all others in this part of the world, Mobily in Saudi Arabia was the Etisalat Group, the UAE Etisalat Group. Nowras in Oman was the Qtel Group. The previous example that I gave in Egypt, it was the Vodafone and the Orange Group. In other parts of the world. It was the Orascom Group, the Zain Group, the etc., etc. And this is a question that as well was the how we overcame the challenge. When talking with my chairman, he just said to me, you know what? We do things differently here in the UAE. We do things differently here in Dubai. And that was a turning point in the way as well of looking at things. We wanted things to be different, but we had an inspiration. You just need to look around you, and you were seeing by the day, you know, this was the 2005-2006 period. We were seeing by the day the impossible made possible just because you had stubbornness on a vision, you had the drive of delivering on a vision and looking around you and the will of making things happen. So that was the beautiful, but it was a tough time. It was a tough time. I was asked by journalists at every corner, okay, what is your recipe? Are you going to have a different network? Are you going to have completely different slash prices? Are you going? And I said, you know what? There is no magic recipe. There is a disciplined and very tedious work, and you doing your homework properly at every component of the value chain every day, every morning. You have to think, okay, where am I missing to do my homework? And then you have to fix it. And it worked.
When you touched on, you know, something that's going to change our lives. I mean, that was one of the statements that you had just made. And some people are saying that when we look at the mobile revolution or the digital revolution or whatever you want to call it, that we are heading into a spike in global GDP growth that is going to make the industrial revolution look like a choir boy. Do you feel that this digital and mobile revolution will be one of the biggest game changers that humankind has ever seen in their entire history?
I certainly do. I certainly do. And I will not use the future tense to speak about it. I think we can, the people who are listening to us can just look around them. We don't need to look far. We don't need to look and dig into things or make searches on Google to say, okay, what are the trends? We just need to look at our kids, their behavior, the way they are accessing knowledge when they want, the way they are doing things, the way they are communicating with their friends, the way they are communicating with their family, the way they are now. Now, I'm not bringing a value judgment. I'm not saying, oh, this is great and the way it was before was not good. No, there will be, you know, the cursor will have to bounce back and forth. And there are certain things that we do in excess that will correct themselves at some point. That's the nature of things. We will go by cycles. But I am absolutely convinced that the changes that are happening, and we just need to look in this part of the world. Major changes in the last 3 years happen at the level of the history of this part of the world, not in the Gulf countries, but if we look at North Africa and the Levant, major changes, historical changes, just because people had an empowerment of communicating in a different manner. Today, every person becomes an editor. Every person becomes a broadcaster. Every person becomes a filmmaker, and not only that, and with the ability to distribute this. We have to factor this in the way we are living. I say very often, civilization models are changing. Civilizations has always been built. Cities and civilization have been built and developed around the natural ways of communication. Why do we speak about a civilization along a river? The Nile civilization, or the Amazon civilization, or the on the rivers in Al-Furat in Iraq. Why do we speak about a civilization around the shores of ocean, the Mediterranean civilization? This is because the way of communicating was determining how people were living. There are new ways of communicating today, so there are in my opinion, new civilizations models that are emerging.
Absolutely fascinating. This is a story of Usman Saltan, the chief executive officer of DO, and his insights into the future, our society, how we're communicating, and where the business and the markets are going. We're going to be right back. Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. We are talking to Usman Saltan, the chief executive officer of DO, a man who was born in the volatile areas of Beirut, Lebanon, seared by the fires of conflict. He was driven into finding a professional vocation. He clung to engineering, but never worked as an engineer, and was catapulted into the early genesis of the internet, became a telecom tycoon. He's one of these listed as one of the most powerful men in telecommunications on the planet. And he has worked almost in every continent, driving greenfields, driving new innovations, driving new businesses. And when you look at the story and tale of the tape of DO, over the last 10 years, it's simply one of the fastest growing companies with a multi-billion dollar U.S. turnover. Huge success story. Usman, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thank you.
Usman, you were talking some really interesting concepts there, where you were looking at one of the major thrusts of society, of the growth in society and how society is structured, is actually communication. And we look at how communication started before it was by word of mouth, by, you know, and those were, and then we saw cities develop along the waters or all along the Nile. And now you're saying that the way that we're communicating is going to change the way societies are being created themselves.
Yes, I dare to say, you know, there are new tribes in the foggy dawn that we see of this new age. I think that there are new tribes that are formed. You know, if societies were made of tribes and groups, there are new tribes, because my son will speak to a person who is completely out of the normal boundaries of society, and they will constitute a group because they share things, because maybe they're sharing the same game on, you know, an Xbox, or so they become part of that group, or because... So what I'm saying, and I don't want to get too philosophical, I think that society is really changing. I'm an optimistic, so I really think that it's up to us to make a change for the better. There are a lot of concerns and legitimate concerns. There are concerns about losing our, you know, identity, losing the human touch, being threatened on the security of all what we do on this cyberspace, being threatened on our privacy, having infringing our privacy. All these are existing concerns in the world we live in. All these are valid concerns, but all these can be tackled because the technology, who is the reason of these threats, can be the cause of the antidotes that we will build in order to ensure that the villains and the people who want to threaten, what we are living, cannot get access to what they want.
This is very strong verbiage. You know, we're talking from antidotes and threats to villains and superheroes, and it really speaks to the context that change is the only constant. And you know, when you ran a business before, you knew your revenue streams. Today, change is happening so fast. How do you deal with, you know, the fact that your revenue streams are constantly changing, and how does that affect your business?
Tell me about it. Actually, if you look at it, there is not one single service that telecom used to provide exclusively: voice, messaging, images, video, that is not offered by global players that offer this through completely different pricing and business models. Voice, you have the like of Skype, and messaging, you have the like of WhatsApp, WeChat, etc. All these photos, the Instagram of the world, the YouTube of the world, etc., etc. So it is imperative that we think our business model completely. but not forgetting that still the telecom industry is making most, if not all, of the investments that are needed in order for these services to exist. This is a distortion in the model that we have today between investment and then revenues. I believe that more and more we will witness a conversation, and I like this word, between the various stakeholders that exist in the ecosystem of telecommunication. Telcos will have to speak to the internet players. We will have to speak to the content and media players. We will have to speak to technology providers. And there should be a way where all stakeholders, including, of course, regulators, decision makers, and government, will have a word to say. Because today, the offering the right connectivity to people is becoming part of the national agenda and part of the economic development of nations. And this is why when we see what's happening in the UAE, I mean, we all know the amazing story of the UAE, where the UAE became a hub of various components in the last, you know, two decades, starting by becoming a hub for goods and merchandising with the right enablers to do so. The ports, the story, and then a hub for people with all what it takes to just, you know, have people, then a hub for investments and capital, then a hub for talent. The next phase is that the UAE will become a hub for all this digital traffic for that. And this is why initiatives like the Smart Government and the initiative of Dubai as a Smart City are showing how the avant-garde is this vision that exists today in the UAE, because in that transformation, the UAE is showing that how much this digital space is a fundamental component in sustaining and being an enabler of the economic development, of the amazing economic development that we are witnessing.
And, you know, I think throughout this conversation, you've really spoken to the importance of having a commitment to a vision. And you very strong language, you even say stubbornness
on the vision.
On the vision. And does that also include sacrifices? I mean, so you at some point, you know, you have to sacrifice relationships. You have to sacrifice, unfortunately, maybe even employees. You have to sacrifice many things. Is that part of the job of the leader? Is that how much are you willing to sacrifice for your vision? You were going to answer that question right after this short, short break. We're going to be right back. This is the story of Usman Sultan and his thoughts on success, leadership, and the future of our economy and society. It's a really fascinating discussion, and we're going into the tail end of this, and he's going to be sharing his secrets to success and what it takes to rise to the top. Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we are listening to the story of Usman Sultan, the Chief Executive Officer of Do. He started his career in Beirut, Lebanon, for those of you just joining us, and clung to the aspirations of having a professional vocation, became an engineer, but never worked as an engineer, got thrust into the early stages of what was to become the internet, working for a French telecom group, and continued his career there for over a decade. His success to him was not a sprint, it was a marathon, and slowly gestating his success over time. Today, he runs one of the largest and fastest growing organizations in the GCC, Do, which has a multi-billion dollar gross revenue. Usman, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thank you.
Nobody can come on the show without being asked the infamous question about what is your secrets to success?
Eye on Careers now reveals the secrets to success.
Usman, what is your secret to success?
Simply said, stubborn on the vision, flexible on the execution, and then people, people, people.
Eye on Careers.
In association with LeMoon.com, jobs, courses, and all things career.
So you said stubborn on the vision.
Yes.
And flexible on the approach
The execution.
On the execution. Okay. And to what extent does the leader really need to be stubborn? I mean, at a certain point, your loyalty to the vision at times has to be greater than your loyalty to your employees, right? Because sometimes you have to fire people who aren't in line with the vision.
Well, yes, but on the other hand, people. So let me elaborate on this. The vision is the ability to see this is the end game, and this is where I believe I want to be a winning horse in the race of tomorrow. And you have to set your company for that. Flexible on the execution is not that you just change. We are in a changing world, and you have to have humility sometime to say, you know what? I'm just seeing the environment is changing. I'm readapting my execution. These are the tactics during the race. And you adjust according to whatever. The environment, the climate, the other races, your opponents in the race. How the public is dealing, how the public is receiving or not a service or a product, etc. So this is what I'm saying. Now, on your question, I think a good leader should always think about how you can create value. And you need always to think that the people you are employing are a very important component of value. You know, we learn a lot from where we live. And when I see the leaders here at the top in the country, always bringing the happiness of people at the forefront of what they say, I think you learn a lot. I think really, in all humility, you understand how important, ultimately, the goal. You know, when we hear the leader at the top here saying that the ultimate goal of all this smart government and smart city is happiness of people, that, I think, is expressing in a beautiful way what should be the ultimate goal of everything we do. Of course, we are here and we are paid to create value to shareholders, but one of the components in the value creation is to ensure that the people who are creating this value, bringing this value, who are your employees, are part of that equation. Now, yes, sometime you have to change the structure. Sometime you have to let go some people. Sometime you have to change. That is a reality, and we cannot. So you try to ensure that the good people, the performing people, the people who are really putting their effort and their heart, these are safeguarded. And the people who don't want to be part of that game, these are the people that you let go.
What is your advice to people who are managing their career now? Early career, mid-career, and late career, kind of have three buckets.
Well, my simple advice, if I may have any, or if I can claim any, is they need to think really about what drives them and what makes them happy. If they consider success is, you know, become richer, then they have to focus on that and to build around that. If they consider success is making a difference in a different way, then they have to drive on that path and along that road, that journey. If they consider their success is recognition or becoming a recognized person that everybody will point and saying, wow, he did it. So they need to really define what they want. Well, I know that it's not so hermetically, you know, separate, but they need to understand what they want, and then they need to build and to plan their career on that front. And again, patience. They need to be patient. They need to open their eyes, their minds, and their hearts to learn at every moment.
Well, Usman, thank you so much for that. I mean, for those people just joining us, you know, I think we walked through on the beginning of what I call the gift of desperation, or, you know, as they say, the flavors of life is not in the tasting, but in the hunger. And, you know, your humble beginnings drove you to have that fire to become a professional and to catapult yourself farther into the world of telecoms. But then your commitment and to one industry to stay focused, and you're what you describe, stubbornness to a vision, but underpinned by I like this very strong verbiage you used here, humility to change your execution, you know, flexibility in your execution, or what some people say, concrete in your principles but flexible in your approach, and surrounded by people, your emphasis on developing people and driving people forward. And then I think you also brought forth some fascinating concepts about how communication shapes society, not just today, but historically, even when it was the spoken word. That was a really interesting concept. And then again, your insight into the fact that we're on the verge of a second industrial revolution, or in a second spike in global GDP that's going to be driven by this digital animal, which will make this one of the most exciting times to be alive, in my humble opinion. And again, your emphasis on patience, that this takes time, that success takes time, the development of skills takes time. I don't know if I missed anything, or there's any last words you want to give our audience before we go.
I think you phrased it better than I could have could have done. No, I feel always very humbled by the interest of audience in what I could potentially say. And I think my last words will be to thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Usman, for coming out. Hopefully we can have you on again sometime soon.
Pleasure.
Thank you so much.